The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. And we welcome you to this edition of Exploring the Word. My name is Alex McFarland. With me in the studio is Jim Stanley. And we are so honored to have you listening, folks. We're going to study Hebrews chapter 13. If you've got your Bible, turn there and join us. And then later in the show, we'll take your calls, your Bible questions. But good afternoon to you, my dear brother.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
Jim, I am doing great because I'll look at these words. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, things change. God doesn't change. Isn't that good?
That is good to know. And folks, we need to remember that because we want to think about God without any judgment. We want to think about God as a warm and fuzzy object, if you will, that won't ever condemn us, won't hold us accountable, because Christ has come and covered all that. And that is true. If you know Christ as Savior, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But there's coming a time that for those that don't know Christ, there's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a reckoning. And God's not just going to give everybody a free pass because He loves everyone. He has provided a pass. He's provided a way through, and that is Jesus. And so I won't get started on the sermon quite this early, but
preach on, brother.
You know,
preach
on. That's one of those things that it kind of bothers me sometimes that folks just want to take God for granted and say,
they do.
Well, you know, God doesn't do that anymore.
You know, there was an article in USA Today about 5-6 years ago, and I was asked to comment on it by a few news agencies. And it painted a picture of God, and this does relate to Hebrews 13:9, the next verse that we're going to get to. But I said this, Jim, for a lot of people, their viewpoint of God is non-judgmental, mm-hmm. non-moral, and anti-supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me say this. God is a very moral being. He's righteous.
Mm-hmm.
God cares about right and wrong and righteousness versus sin. God is definitely a judgmental God. Now, by that we mean He's a God of judgment. And Jim, you know, people talk about God being this grandfatherly, old, kind fellow up in the sky. But if you think about it, that's not the kind of God anybody would really want. Because, I mean, do we really want a world in which an Adolf Hitler is no different than a Billy Graham?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so God is definitely a God of righteousness and reckoning. God is also, let me say this, God is a supernatural God. There's the natural world, but there's the supernatural world. And friend, I think there's probably, if we could only see the invisible battle that rages around us, we would get on our face before God in prayer more than we do.
Amen. That's a great observation. Well, folks, this is Exploring the Word. That's Alex McFarland. I'm Jim Stanley in for Bert Harper. And Alex, yesterday we had taken the afternoon off and played a program from Reverend Tommy Nelson. And
great show.
We are going to be replaying that over the weekend. And so also we will play it this afternoon at 5 Central here on American Family Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to let folks know about that. And let me ask you, brother, are you at home or are you on your way to your next town?
Well, do you know what? I'm at home right now, but I'm going to be headed out this weekend because one of the things we do with North Greenville University, where I teach apologetics one day a week, is we have a thing called the Life Answers Team, and we're going to be doing a youth event Sunday night for some teenagers and these great young people that are learning to defend the faith. We're going to equip some teenagers on how to share and even defend the gospel message. So I'm on the road a bit, but I'll be in the studios of AFR next Wednesday and Thursday, so I'm excited about gradually migrating my way toward Tupelo.
I was going to say, I did hear that through the rumor mill that you might be coming. Well, let me ask you one more thing, and then we'll jump back to Hebrews 13. And by the way, folks, let me say this. Today, we would normally have a Fireaway Friday. And so what we're going to do is when we begin to take Bible questions, we will open that up to a normal Fireaway Friday, if you will. And I would remind you that we want to talk about the things that unite us and not the things that have a tendency to draw us apart. And that's not to make the Bible soft in any way. It's not to shy away from things. But folks, there's a lot more in Scripture that unite us than there is that divides us. And that's what we want to talk about. So, Alex, if I wanted to bring you I can bring you easily to Tupelo because you like to come down and see us, and so that works out well. But let's say I'm in Timbuktu, yes, and I want to bring you to my church. How do I do that?
God bless you. Thank you for asking. Well, you can just email me or call me, and my website is alexmcfarland.com, and it is my privilege to travel and preach. You know, Jim, sometimes pastors will call me and they'll say, you know, we've just got a little church. You probably wouldn't come here. False. You know, I'll be in front of a conference. Sometimes I'll be in front of 3,000 people. And then 2 days later, I'll be in front of 45 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really have the heart of what I would call a revivalist. A lot of times people say Alex is an evangelist, and I am. But my heart is really for the church.
Hmm.
And if you want to do an event, folks, I love to preach. I love to teach. I love to exhort the saints. And so just go to my website, alexmcfarland.com, and all my contact info is there.
All right. Thanks. And so, folks, and take advantage of that, too, because he's an excellent teacher.
Well,
all right. So hey, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say this, too, folks. And let me say this, and the commercial's over. But we did a thing with American Family Studios. Jeff Shambly and American Family Studios, they're phenomenal. We created a curriculum called the 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About God and Christianity. And it's available at afastore.net. That's afastore.net. And God has blessed it. People are using it. Churches are using it. But I don't know if you know this, Jim, but in June, the International Christian Visual Media Association gave this curriculum that we filmed right there in Tupelo third place, the Bronze Award in the world. And I got an email from them that they're sending me a certificate. Jeff Shambly has a copy of the certificate. They're going to send me one. But that's the thing. We believe, and that's one of the reasons Bert and I do Exploring the Word. We know that the Word of God is what convicts souls and equips lives, and that's our passion. And so to learn about some of the resources that God's allowed me to help create, go to afastore.net.
All right. And now, Alex, in thinking about that and American Family Studios and the different things that they have going on, I appreciate your mentioning that because, you know, a lot of times we forget to talk about that, and it's not a matter of boastfulness or anything. It's simply a fact that the work that they do over there is excellent.
It's tremendous.
And so, folks, I would encourage you to look into that series. It's very good, and you can find it at afastore.net. That's afastore.net. Well, we're at verse 9. And go ahead, brother.
Yeah, this is so good. Oh my goodness, this is a rich verse, isn't it?
Oh, it really is, and I like it because it reminds us that we have to be careful. And I say that in all honesty, because we live in a day and age where there is so much information out there. There are so many different Bible study tools. There are so many different books about the study of Christ and being a Christ follower. But we have to be careful that we don't jump on just any bandwagon and get carried away. And that's Jim Stanley paraphrased for, "Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those were so occupied were not benefited." And, you know, let me go on. I don't want to stop there. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the body of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Now, and then, you know, it goes on, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. And I didn't, and the reason I didn't want to stop before that is because I didn't want to be accused of just lifting out a verse. But folks, when you go back to verse 9, and I'll get Alex to unpack it for us a little bit more in just a moment. But when you go back to verse 9, it really means what it says. There, especially as we live, as we believe we live in the last days, the teaching can be off just a little. And suddenly we're back to Adam and Eve and this, with the serpent in the garden, where the serpent says, well, you won't really die. You know, it's just that easy to get carried away by a new and strange and tasty doctrine, because that's how Satan packages it. He wants it to look good to us. He wants it to look like something we're used to and something that's very close to what God would allow. But in all honesty, it turns out to be much different, doesn't it, Alex?
It really does. It really does. And folks, truth matters. Truth matters. And Hebrews 13:9, and by the way, folks, we're nearing the end of Hebrews and the end of chapter 13. I really believe that verse 14 is part of a great long thought that begins all the way back in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll explain that in just a moment. But let's camp out on verse 9 a little bit. Do not be carried about by strange doctrines, it says. Don't be blown back and forth. You remember back in Ephesians, it talked about being blown around by every wind of doctrine. The word for strange there, strange doctrine, in the original language is the word for alien. Isn't that something? Now, what are some of the Bible realities that are the non-negotiables? Well, that God is the unchanging, eternal Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That the Savior, Jesus, is the one and only Son of God. Jesus is not merely a way to heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven. And whenever you hear things that run against the bedrock foundations of classic Christian truth, that's what these alien teachings, these strange doctrines that Hebrews warns against are. And it says, don't be carried about. Now, interestingly, it talks about being established by grace, yes, and by not with foods. Now, remember that a lot of these readers of this book originally, though we read it the world over today, but the original recipients were Christians that had come out of Judaism. And, you know, I got to tell you, Jim, this is pretty pointed. It says that those who serve the tabernacle do not have a right to eat.
From what was placed there, and then it goes on to say why. But yeah, I mean, you know, you don't get special privileges just because of that. And that was one of the big things that they sinned against God was by taking that. Well, Alex, we're coming up on the break. Folks, stick around. Exploring the Word continues on American Family Radio.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing, he had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife Jenny was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Dr. Tony Evans says Christianity isn't just a matter of what you can't do, but the rules still matter. Today, he'll talk about where we get the power to follow them as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The new covenant operates from the inside out. Many of us are holding back what God wants to do on the inside. He gave you a new heart. He gave you a new spirit because he wants to give you a new life. And he wants a dynamic relationship with his spirit. And when he does, he says, you will obey me not because you have to. You will obey me because you want to. It will change your motivation. It's real simple. It is when the word of God is linked with the spirit of God. When the intersection of what you heard about God is then yielded to the spirit of God, you have what I might call a spiritual Xerox moment. You say, God, tell me, prophesy to me what I need to know and understand. But when you then take that information and offer it to the Holy Spirit for the purpose of transformation, the Holy Spirit does this. He takes a picture, and the new covenant says, I will write my words on your heart. So what God does is he takes a picture of the Bible, writes it on the heart, and inverts it so that now the word of God is starting from the inside out and not the outside in.
If you'd like to see our country return to a relationship with God, contact us for details on Dr. Evans' book called America. It explains how we can use the Lord's power to reclaim justice, morality, and strength for America, and to spark a revival like our nation has never seen. Get details by visiting us at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk, studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me, I've opened up your word to free me. I want to hear you now.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Jim Stanley. We're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. The number, you might want to write this down, it's 888-589-8840. And in a few moments, we'll get to your Bible questions. But Jim, before the break, we were looking at Hebrews 13, 9 through, well, really 9 through 11.
Right.
And remember, prior to Christ, there was the Levitical system. Mm-hmm. And they would kill the sacrificial animals, sprinkle the blood on the altar. The blood of the animals was a temporary covering for
right.
sin. The blood of Jesus was a permanent eradication of sin. But there were some that were very invested in the Levitical system. And folks, remember Matthew 27, 51 through 54, Christ on the cross, the sky became dark, there was an earthquake, the rocks rent, crumbled in two, but the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, signifying that the old system was done. And on the cross, John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." But Jim, there were some that were very invested in the religious system of the day, and they didn't want to give up the religious cultural side of it easily. And that they, I think part of this in Hebrews 13 is to reassure the Hebrew converts that, look, it's not food, it's not dietary legalism, it's not the blood of animals,
mm-hmm.
but it's grace that your heart stands strong on.
Amen. And the more we learn about that grace, the easier it is to stand. But I also think that's one of the reasons that, as we mentioned a moment ago, that the author of Hebrews reiterated, stand firm on what you know, and then grow in that grace. Don't be tossed about by those who would say, well, you're doing this wrong or you're doing that wrong because you're not doing it in this order. And isn't it good to know that as we follow the Holy Spirit, as we grow closer to Christ, that those liturgical things become less important, and the fact that it is grace, the fact that it is the blood of Christ that covers our sins, becomes more and more important.
Exactly. I mean, that is so true. And that's why, you know, we on the show, Bert and I and Jim and I reiterate that. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Remember, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, mm-hmm. for in them you think you have eternal life. And we do, because the Bible says, you know, in Psalm 119, verse 93, I will never forget your words, for through them I found life. Mm. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, they testify of me. If you want to know, and I know we have a lot of folks listening that aren't believers necessarily yet, but if you want to know the theme of the Bible, it's Jesus. Mm. The message of this entire book, all 66 chapters, is the Son of God and how you can have a personal relationship with Him. And it's through grace. One of the great, you know, Monday, October 31, we celebrated the Reformation.
Right.
And one of the great rallying cries of the Protestant Reformation was that salvation is through God's grace. And Jim, have you ever heard grace, G-R-A-C-E, spelled out, God's riches at Christ's expense?
Yes, I have. That's a great acronym.
And how is that grace appropriated to you, my friend? Through works? No. Through maybe you give some money? No. Through faith. And faith means trust. And so we would urge you, Bert and I do many times a week, if you've never been saved, Jesus is as close by as a prayer. Mm-hmm. If you will call on the name of the Lord and put your belief, your faith, your trust in Jesus, you will be saved.
Amen. You absolutely will. And folks, we are going to take your calls in just a moment at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. In fact, we're going to try and go to them before the next break so that we can get a little head start in answering some of those today. Alex, as we look at, as you were talking there about verse 11 and then how Christ completed that and he went into the Holy of Holies for us after he had been sacrificed literally outside the camp. Because when you think about where Golgotha was, that was not any place that would have been close to any temple. Even in the tabernacle days, that was a place of refuge, and not refuge. It's a place of refuge now, but it was a place of refuge. It's where they went out and condemned men were killed there. You know, all the time, and so that was a place that would have been shied away from. So Jesus took the gift. He took his blood from outside the gate, if you will, and then he went and presented it before God so that we could be presented as blameless in the day of judgment. Mm-hmm. But then, as you mentioned, he took and he rent the veil between those. And so that's why they're reminding folks here that you don't have to do those burnt offerings anymore. Christ did that for us.
Amen. He really did. He really did. You know, for those that have been to Jerusalem, you'll know there's what's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and then there's the Garden Tomb. And one of the reasons that I do believe the Garden Tomb, which is sometimes called Gordon's Calvary, one of the reasons that I do believe that is the empty tomb and not the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, although the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is in the news a lot, is because clearly it says that Jesus, verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Mm-hmm. The crucifixion was outside the gate. You know, the Jewish people, the Levites, would not touch a dead body because it ceremonially it would defile the person. And it was a you know, serious thing for a dead body or for the execution of a criminal or frankly, the dumping of garbage to happen within the gate. And also the sacrifices, it says here that the priest would take the sacrifice and the remains of the beast outside the camp. Jesus was crucified outside the camp, really outside. Do you know the word profane? And, you know, we've heard the word profanity, but the word profane literally means outside the temple. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." Jim, it really blows my mind how the holy, sinless, righteous Son of God became unrighteous so that we who were unrighteous could be made righteous.
Amen. Absolutely. And that, you know, folks, I could add on to that, but there's no reason to, because what Alex just said is the truth, and it applies to everyone. One simply has to be willing to trust, literally to trust the Lord and get outside of our own heads sometime, where we say, well, we're not worthy, or this isn't worthy, or I've done this, or I've done that. Folks, what you have to understand is it goes back to the simple profession of John the Baptist when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world."
Amen. Amen. And it says, verse 13, "Let us go forth, therefore, unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach." The writer is calling on the reader to unashamedly stand up for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, Jim, in this life, there are times when being a Christian will cost you. Ask the people that are in foreign countries that are persecuted. It's been estimated. I know we've had missionaries and different ones on the show before where they talk about, it really in the 20th century onward, there have been so many tens of thousands of Christians martyred for their faith. There was a time in America where Christianity overwhelmingly had home court advantage. But more and more, friend, to come out bold as a believer in Jesus, as a follower of the Scripture, might get you some criticism, might get you fired from your job, might get you some real persecution. But Hebrews 13:13 is saying, look, let us be willing to bear the reproach. In other words, he's saying, look, forget all that old religiosity. Stand on the grace of Jesus. And here's why I said this ties into Hebrews 11, verse 14, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come."
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jim, I've always been sort of moved by Hebrews 11, and it talks all about the great faithful. And it says at the end of Hebrews 11, it says that they were destitute. If you read Hebrews 11, 32 through 40, it talks about the great heroes like Isaac and Joseph and Moses and Abraham that I want to mention in a minute. And it says that they were beaten, they were scourged, and it says that they had not yet obtained the promise, but they were of good report. But it says they wandered about naked, hungry, thirsty, destitute, of whom the world was not worthy. Now, all of that is a great long way of saying this world is not our home, is it?
Right. Yeah, and it really is. And gosh, that's a promise, again, of grace, is that we will head to a better place. We think of Paul saying, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." We have to have that kind of faith, that kind of mentality. And a lot of times the author of Hebrews is considered to be Paul, and we see a lot of parallels in the writings between that and other letters that he wrote. But for whatever reason, God chose to keep the author of Hebrews kind of anonymous. And
yeah.
So, it's been attributed to several folks, but we do know this, that it is the inerrant Word of God, because it is God-breathed. And
amen.
Alex, we have finished up there at verse 14. Why don't we put a pin in that for today and come back on Monday and finish up the chapter? What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
All right.
Let me leave this portion with this thought, and then we're going to take your calls, 888-589-8840. It says, "We have no continuing city here." Remember back in Hebrews 11:10, where it was talking about Abraham, the father of the faithful, and it says, "He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Jim, down here, and hey, I love life. It's a thrill to be up every day. But, in reality, There's no city in this world that, quote, hath foundations. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even the best, the biggest, the most powerful, the human world is falling and fading away. And my friend, enjoy life. Use what God has blessed you with for His glory. But know that if you're a believer, your ultimate citizenship, your loyalty, your priorities are the life to come.
Amen.
Because this world is not our ultimate city.
It is not, but we know that one is coming, and we look forward to it. All right, we're going to go to Chase in Texas. Chase, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Hey, I'm looking to be get a job as a pastor, and I'm just wondering if you guys could unpack the legality of 501c and to the extent to which a pastor can talk about politics from the stage and not run the risk of being audited by the IRS or having the 501c tax right taken away. So I know that pastors can say, hey, here's a platform, here's what's godly about this one, here's what's godly about that, but where is the line that can't be crossed legally? I'm just curious.
Well, you know, part of that is that you're talking about two separate things. As a pastor of
Excellent.
Your church, you don't have to have a 501c3 covering because your church is its own entity. So you're looking at a couple of different things there. And so, you know, I work for a 501c3 ministry, and we have to be careful of what we do. But you as a pastor in the pulpit have a great deal more freedom than what the government would like for you to think that you do. Mm-hmm. And Alex, as an evangelist and having your own 501c3 ministry, you can probably speak better to that. But, you know, we have the Alliance Defending Freedom and others that offer the coverage for the pulpit, where they will, you know, if you want to talk about politics from your pulpit, you can, even though the government says you can't. And they've offered to, you know, to represent anybody, any pastor that may preach about that and preach about Christians' involvement in politics itself. And Alex, Chase, I tell you, if you will send us an email to word@afr.net, that's word@afr.net, we could probably get you a more... I almost reverted back to Trivia Friday, where we could get you a more betterer answer. But
More betterer. That's good.
And that's the theme of Trivia Friday on today's issues, is that they want to make you a more betterer person. But, Chase, we could probably get you a more complete answer, especially on the 501c3 question. So send us an email on that. But, Alex, go ahead and see if you can give Chase some... A capsule, if you will.
God bless you, Chase, and we commend you for desiring to be a pastor. And if God calls you to that, we applaud you, and I doubly applaud you for having an interest in speaking about moral, social, and political issues. Now, Jim is absolutely right. Churches are tax exempt, and let me explain. And please, folks, listen very carefully. Since 1894, churches by law are not taxed, although the Supreme Court ruling on that goes all the way back to 1819. Now, we've got a break. We're going to talk more about this, but if you're a pastor, a leader, speak up about the moral and social issues of our day.
Amen. And Chase, send us an email, if you would, to word@afr.net, and we'll try and get you a more complete answer on that. Folks, Exploring the Word continues here on American Family Radio, and your call at 888-589-8840.
Will you join me in praying for the nation? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we stand before you fully cognizant of our sins as a nation. We have turned our backs on your principles and your precepts, and we have done what is right in our own eyes. We've beaten our chest, Father, and said that we would be like gods. We've taken your perfection and we've turned it into the profane, and we are worthy of your judgment. So, Father, we stand before you pleading for mercy, begging for forgiveness, requesting, Father, that you would forgive us of all of our sins. You are a God who hears. Daniel petitioned for the sins of Judah, Father, and like Daniel of old, we ask, Father, that you would hear, that you would listen, and you would act. We love you, Father. We believe that you will forgive us of our sins. We ask again for profound forgiveness and beg you for healing in our land. We pray this all in Jesus' name. I'm Janet Parshall, host of In the Market for OneCry.com.
Introducing the colorful new AFA Christmas wristbands. They serve as cheerful reminders of what Christmas is all about. Get a wristband free when you visit afa.net/Christmas. And remember, when you request your free bracelet and order more, you're keeping the American Family Association in the battle to restore Christian values in America. They come in packs of 10, so order several. Stop by afa.net/Christmas today.
This is Steve Conover inviting you to listen to the Friends of Israel Today each week on this station. Here's our host and Bible teacher, Chris Katulka.
Hey everybody, the Friends of Israel Today is a unique radio show that teaches biblical truth for changing times. We do this through Q&A, timely interviews, dramatic readings from the life of Holocaust survivor Zvi Kalischer, and of course, Bible teaching.
To learn more, visit foiradio.org.
Join us for Friends of Israel Today, Sunday morning at 11:30 Central, here on AFR Talk.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us, and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland with Jim Stanley. And you. Your calls, your Bible questions, 888-589-8840. Jim, to where do we go next?
Well, first, I want to let Chase know that we did indeed get his email. He has already emailed us, as he said, as we asked him to. And so wanted to let him know. And then over the last few days, Alex, as we have given that email out, we have gotten several different questions, and a couple of them I passed on to you and Bert, and a couple I took a stab at. And so, folks, we want you to know that when we get your email, it may take us a little bit to get back to you, but if we've told you that we'll get you an answer, we really will. And
yeah, we do.
Alex, if you don't mind, I actually want to take a question from an email. And
Great.
We talked about this a little bit ago, I think maybe day before yesterday when you and I were on. And we talked about divorce, and when we were talking about that, of course, it was from Hebrews 13, but this person is wanting to know how they can find peace in a remarriage, because there was an injured party where we talked about what was quote-unquote scriptural. Mm-hmm. We talked about how God hated divorce, but how there was restoration and there was hope for new. And so would you just remind us of what it means to be divorced and remarried, and what is acceptable?
Wow. Well, great question. And, you know, divorce, both for the spouses and for the children, if you have children, it is one of the most painful things you'll ever go through. I mean, it really is. And while we are sharing God's truth, you know, we understand that people are hurt. And I know from counseling men, Jim, I counseled a man that was in his late 70s, very successful business person, had a successful second marriage for 30 years, and yet he looked back and he was still hurting. I mean, so it's a wound that takes time to heal. But clearly, Jesus said in Matthew 5, if you look at Matthew 5, 31 through 32, Christ was in the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, you know, you've heard it said, whoever divorces, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for fornication, in other words, there's been sexual immorality, adultery, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Now, read Matthew 5, and it's black and white what Christ has said. However, I do want to say this. Jim, there, I get asked a lot, what is a scriptural divorce? Let me just say this. If you're in a marriage that is less than happy, and you're kind of looking for your biblical escape clause, change your heart.
Right.
You know, now, the Bible is clear. If one partner breaks the marriage vow through sexual activity, immorality, adultery, there is permission, but there's not a mandate.
Right.
And I know many, many people I've met that they worked through that deepest, darkest of valleys, and God is able. I want to say this, friend. Jesus conquered death. I mean, we serve the God who can raise the dead. And if he can do that, he can resurrect a marriage.
Even. Right.
If he can resurrect a dead body, he can resurrect a relationship. And so let me say this. If you're in an abusive situation, if you're a female and you're being physically abused, you need to get out for a while. Seek counseling, not only pastoral counseling, but I would say professional counseling, and understand that God can rebuild your life. I would never advocate that somebody stay in an abusive situation. Jim, when I worked for Dr. Dobson at Focus on the Family, there were basically three A's: adultery, abuse, and abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, abandonment, I just want to say this. Abandonment doesn't mean that your husband seems distant and watches TV and you wish he would, you know, talk to you more. That doesn't mean he's abandoned you. You might feel like he's emotionally distant. Abandonment, and I've had men come to me and they'd say, look, I don't want a divorce. I don't want to sign divorce papers, but my wife left me a year ago. I've tried. I've made a good faith effort to bring her back. And there are people that are truly, truly abandoned. And so if you've done everything humanly possible, but you know you can only give account for yourself, you can't give an account for what another person does. So there are situations that are in this fallen world just a reality, and I think people need to be able to forgive themselves. If you're in that second or third marriage and you think, oh, what have I done? Look, God loves you still. You haven't you haven't done things that make God not love you.
Right.
Where you are is where you are. Turn to Christ. Forgive your ex. Forgive yourself. And understand that in Christ, you are complete, the Word of God says, and you can move forward with that knowledge.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. And now we're going to talk to Wayne from Ohio. And Wayne, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Blessed.
Great. Hey, I love your show.
You're very kind.
Forgive me if I overstep my bounds, but I just wanted, Jim, you said something yesterday about Bert wanted you to have something done with the program before he got back, but I wanted to comment on that. I've really enjoyed the pace that you taught the word here the last week or so, and because a lot of times you get on there and it's, you guys are rushing through the scriptures and you don't get as much out of it. But the last week here or so, it's just been wonderful. The pace has been great. You guys have been teaching, and I've gotten so much more out of the the teaching just because you're taking your time, it seems like. So I don't know if there's restrictions or what there is. I don't know the ins and outs of how they put that on the show.
There are no restrictions. It's just that sometimes some of the scripture lends itself to digging in, and I think that we may have the observation that we've been in Hebrews a long time. And so, you know, just because 13, and Alex and I talked about this the other day, that 13 is usually just the flyover country, if you will, but it's got some really rich nuggets in there. And so Alex humored me, and we went and we dug in a little deeper. But plus, it's Hebrews, and I think it's worthy of that. And I think don't misunderstand me, the whole Bible is worthy of that. But Wayne, stick around, because coming up, especially after the new year, these guys have some really good things in store, and I don't want to give it all. Well, I'll give away some of it. You're gonna be enjoying some of the redemptive thread through the Bible, and so I know that they're going to be digging into that. So Wayne, thanks for your call. Did you have a specific question for today?
No, I've been listening for about 3 years, and you guys have been a blessing to me, and my growth has just been been wonderful, and you've been a big part of that. So just God bless you and keep up the good work.
Well, thanks, brother, and God bless you. And I think Alex would agree with me when I say that it's not us, it's the Lord.
It is the Lord. It is. And thank you for enjoying the fact that we've gone kind of slow. I'm the slow, long-windy one. When we do slow down, it's my fault.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but you have in-depth answers. You know, you have the Strong's Concordance in your head, and so you can go back to the natural, you know, to the Greek and to the Hebrew and to the Aramaic, and so you do a great job, brother. We're privileged to have you on, and we appreciate you. So don't sell yourself short. Sometimes long answers are good.
Well, you're very kind. You're very kind.
All right, let's talk to John in Louisiana. John, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, my question is about the meaning of the blood of Jesus, because it seems to me that many people use that expression as a cliche so much of the time. Now, we know in the Old Testament that the blood of a sacrificial animal, which was offered in the correct manner through repentance and faith by the offerant, was effective and had a literal meaning, and a literal meaning. But when we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, is it just about his blood, or is it about also his suffering, because it was a redemptive act and redemption required an acceptable price to be paid for the liberation of somebody under punishment, and that punishment was eternal punishment in the lake of fire?
Yeah, John, those are great questions, brother, and I'm going to let Alex unpack some of that. I'm going to let you listen on the radio, if you would. Alex, you know, part of that we covered just a moment ago when we talked about the blood of Jesus and the blood of the bulls and the sacrifices, that those in the Old Testament, the blood was a temporary fix, but that the blood of Jesus, we don't use that as a cliche. We use it because we understand, and I think that even as much as we understand, we really only understand in part what that sacrifice meant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. The blood of Jesus is something that is the key, I mean, the foundation of our salvation. Because, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or no taking away of sin. The Bible says that Jesus was sacrificed on the cross. His blood, you know, was shed. Jim, we went through 1 Peter one time, Bert and I did. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that we were redeemed, quote, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish. Now, so never be ashamed to say that you're washed in the blood. You know, we sing that song, "Are you washed in the blood?" The precious blood of the lamb. Jim, parenthetically, let me say that kind of from the, I'm going to say the 1970s, 80s upward, some of the denominations minimized the blood.
Right.
They took hymns out of the hymn book that referenced the blood of Jesus.
And rewrote some of the ones they kept.
Oh, I know. By the way, I squirm because I'm a musician. I love music. I'll be in churches sometimes, and I'll be singing a song, and I'll think, wait a minute, that wasn't the word. And one is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch.
Yeah.
I was in a church about a year ago, and up on the screen it said, that saved someone like me.
That's right.
And I got up in the pulpit, and I said, hey, look, without Jesus, I was a wretch.
Right.
You know? But Hebrews 9:12 says this, and this is one of the things that, by the way, Jim, I agree with you. I don't think we adequately comprehend what all is meant by the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We know he was righteous. Think about this, folks. The appropriate measure of God's wrath that you and I deserved was poured on Jesus. So he was able to pay our sin debt. But it says in Hebrews 9:12 that by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place,
mm-hmm.
having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, a whole lot has been speculated about what is meant by the phrase, he entered once into the holy place. Most scholars would say that, at least on some level, maybe even with his own blood, or maybe just in person, but Christ appeared before the Father in heaven. Literally, that's the holy place in heaven. And said, you know, it is done. I've paid in full. And that's one of the reasons that we, with unspeakable joy, we know that when God looks at the believer, he doesn't see our sin and our guilt, and that's been dropped in the depths of the sea.
Right.
But he sees the righteousness of his own Son. We are in the eyes of God, and that's Romans 4. But in the eyes of God, we're declared righteous because of the blood of the one who was righteous, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Steve and Brian, I'm going to ask you guys if you would send us an email to word@afr.net. We're not going to have time to adequately answer your questions right now because we're coming up on the end of the program, and so I don't want to do you a disservice. But would you just do me a favor and send those in the form of an email to word@afr.net, and I promise you that that Alex, Bert, or myself will be happy to try and answer those questions for you. You know, Alex, it's neat to see how we get some of these emails in and how we're going to be able to tie in some of the partner ministries that we have. For example, I got an email during the show that says, how do I explain dinosaurs biblically to my kids? Well, Alex, I'm pretty sure you know who I'm going to refer those folks to.
Well, I don't think you can do much better than our dear friend Ken Ham at Answers in Genesis.
That's right. And
yeah.
So that's, I'm going to go and they have some FAQs there. Alex, have you got the FAQs back up at your website yet?
You know, I don't even know.
Wow. I shouldn't have put you on the spot.
Just days ago, I did put up a blog site, blog.alexmcfarland.com. 15 or 16 of my articles are up there that have run nationally. Jim, I want to say this in the second set close. Folks, okay. I beg of you. Pray for America. Pray
Amen.
For the election. Maybe even fast and pray for the
yep.
election.
And don't forget, Monday is a day of fasting and prayer here at American Family Radio, American Family Association. So join us in that. Alex, have a great weekend. We'll be praying for you.
God bless you, folks, and thank you, Jim.
All right. Folks, stick around. Tony Perkins is coming your way next. Actually, I understand Sandy Rios is sitting in for Tony. So stick around to Washington Watch next on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.